Praise God, it's time for that time again for Living the Good Life right here on TANTalkNetwork.com. And if you're listening locally, you can also listen. We now have the FM stations, which are amazing, 106.1 and 104.3 FM. And in the Tampa Bay area or globally on the internet or tune in radio, and you can download that app and then go to the 106.1 FM for a strong signal. www.tantalknetwork.com. That's where we're coming from, Clearwater, Florida. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, as usual, right here in this seat for the last almost 10 years. How about that? Every Sunday afternoon. And with a couple times when I was out of town, and Pastor Jim is here. But we are excited to bring the Word of God to you week after week. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it, in our nation and around the world and in so many individuals' lives. God is moving and doing some new things, and we give Him all the glory and the praise for what He's doing in our lives. And for so many of us, we are seeing so many answers to prayer, so many opportunities to praise God and give Him glory because of what He's doing in our lives. And, oh, I tell you, one after the other, answers to prayer. Praise God. In the Tampa Bay area, every Wednesday night, we have a powerful Bible study, and it begins around 6 with prayer, taking prayer requests to the throne of God. And again, so many answers to prayer. We keep a list of all these answers. There's so many. Praise report. So if you have a prayer request, we encourage you to send it to our 24/7 365 prayer line, which is prayers at bohmglobal.com. BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. You could write all that out, but it's easier just to say prayers at bohmglobal.com. Send your requests in, because we have a team of 3 that operate, at every day. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, Betty up in Indiana, and Shell right here in our ministry here, who send out all of the prayer requests to everybody on the prayer team. So it's a great way for you to get your need out there to a lot of people who will genuinely and sincerely pray for you. So we encourage you to use that. It's absolutely free, no obligation. You don't even have to put your name. You can put anonymous on there if you want. It doesn't matter. But send your prayer request to prayers at bohmglobal.com and watch God work on your behalf, because he is doing just that. He is answering prayer. We give Him glory and praise today. Dr. Angel and Shell are going to join me in a little while for a discussion as we begin this show. We are going to be in the book of 2 Kings again, like we were last week. So if you like to follow along with your Bible, grab it, and we can all talk about it together. It's 2 Kings chapter 4, and that's where we will be today, beginning with about verse 8. That's where we'll start out. But you know, as it is on this show, we allow the Holy Spirit to move, and we don't know exactly what's about to happen, right? So we just go with the flow and let God lead and direct every step of the way. That's what it's all about. So we encourage you to go to our website, and that is www.bohmglobal.com, and check it out. And there's a lot of our shows are on our website. at least about 400. We hit our 500 mark last year sometime. I think it was in October. So we continually, at the end of each month, our webmaster puts the shows for that month on our website. So we want you to be able to avail of those shows that you've missed. And some of them, a lot of them have titles, so you have a general idea of what you're listening to. So again, we invite you to go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com. And check out the radio broadcast section and the other things, of course, on the website. So, Wednesday night Bible study in the Tampa Bay area, Clearwater on Almerton, 3580 Almerton Road. Anybody is welcome. Right now we're meeting in the Red Roof Inn in a very nice room. So you can come there and find us Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock for prayer meeting. Bible study begins at 6:30. So, that's what we're doing, and that's what we're all about. We've got a lot of work going on in Mexico. We've also got new Facebook posts that we'll talk about in a little while, but God is moving and blessing the ministry and this show and our Thursday night show with Dr. Angel, who will be along shortly, and I are every Thursday night is a life coaching show, counseling show with the two of us, and we're in a series right now on, basically it started out at the beginning of the year on dreaming big and really believing that you can attain some things in your life maybe that you've never attained but wanted to. And so this past Thursday night and this coming Thursday night, we're going to talk about a hindrance, a huge hindrance to getting your dreams fulfilled. And that is unforgiveness. So last Thursday night was part one of that, and this Thursday night will be part two. We air right here on this station every Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. 6:06 p.m. So check it out. All right. Love this first song. It's The Well by Casting Crowns. What a great song. We have a well within us, which is God's presence, and He says that the living water can and does live within us. In John chapter 7, when Jesus stood up in the tabernacle and he talked about that living water within us, John 7:37, amazing verses there. The well of God's presence springing up within us and then, of course, leaving us and going out to affect so many others. This is a great song to start this show with today.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the heart, no matter how broken, just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And
come to the well. Yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try. Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Your temporary pleasure.
Leave it all behind.
Love that song. Great song. Is that you on the air, Dr. Angel?
This is me.
How are you? I know you had to work today, and it's kind of blustery out there, isn't it?
It is getting blustery out there. That's true.
I guess we have a storm coming from Georgia. Is that right? That's the way I understand it.
That's how it sounds. I did get text messages in the night that it was hitting Tallahassee pretty hard.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
From your son at school.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. There you go. All right. Well, we're in this series, this wonderful series, Going the Distance. Talk to me about how that has affected you and how, you know, this whole subject is so important in our lives. What does it mean to go the distance? I'm going to pick on you here a little bit, Doctor.
That's okay. Going the distance is going all the way, not stopping when you hit an obstacle, you know, not stopping when it looks like it's not going to be what you're thinking, where you're trying to go. It's going all the way, no matter what's hitting you and what's coming around you. Just keep going forward and pursuing what God has for you.
Absolutely. And isn't it true that a lot of people get fired up at first when they get saved and ask Jesus into their heart? And maybe they read their Bible some and or a lot, and maybe they're, you know, really trying to study and learn what God has for them. But life begins to happen, and then it seems to me, from years of being a pastor, that you know, people can so easily get lukewarm. Do you know what I'm talking about? And can you define that, or can you explain that for our audience, what that really means? What does it look like?
Well, I guess getting lukewarm is just kind of, we're not really pursuing it. We don't have the passion. We're kind of just existing, going to church or reading our Bible when it's convenient or when we feel like it, and not when it's not.
Right.
And just becoming complacent.
Jesus talked about that in the book of Revelation, the church that became very lukewarm, you know, and he said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. I mean, Jesus talks about this, that he wants us as Christians to really get into the things of the Lord, to learn his concepts, his principles, to understand how we can walk every day in victory and get prayers answered and have joy and peace. I mean, that's the picture of a committed Christian who really wants to learn the Word of God. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. You know, it's doing it when you don't feel like it. It's
right.
Doing it when it's not convenient. It's doing it because you have passion and you're committed, and this, you know, this is the calling for you to keep going forward.
Right. Yes. And it's not a thing of having a new fad in your life, but I think for a lot of people, they go through times in their lives where, like we just said, they're lukewarm, or they may be more turned on to God. Maybe they needed a God, and they found it. They got an answer to prayer, a huge answer to prayer, and their faith was boosted for a while, and they began to, you know, praise God, go to church maybe, you know, read the Word, whatever, and then life began to distract them, because the devil is a master at distraction and keeping us from fulfilling our potential in God, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think what I found is, you know, when we're really going through difficult times, we tend to pursue God a little more intently and more faithfully because we're outside of our own ability to handle something. And then he gets us through and life is going good. And we forget about that tough
right.
time. And now we're doing good and we're just getting busy and we're doing the things we want to do. And when life is good, we tend to forget about our
right.
pursuit of God.
Right. So, but in order to overcome those very difficult trials that happen in our lives, there must be a foundation. And we're going to talk about a story in 2 Kings chapter 4. We talked about Elisha last week, a major prophet, a major man of God, a man of miracles. There's like 32 miracles attributed to Elisha in the Bible. And he was walking through this little town. This is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, if you want to follow along, folks. And a leading lady of the town talked him into stopping for a meal. This is just a kind of a hospitality thing. I think this is interesting. I think, Doctor, that she must have seen something in this man. He was coming and going through the town and going to other locations. And he probably had some people with him, and he probably had kind of a reputation as, oh, there's that guy that those miracles have happened through. Don't you think there was something about him that caused her to say, I want you to come in here and eat dinner with us, you know?
Oh, absolutely. There had to be a lot, I'm sure. I mean, not just rumors through the town and, you know, just something different about his presence and his countenance and his
right.
There's something that just was attracting.
That's what it, and you know, this really kind of got me. I was thinking about this last couple of days. Do people see Jesus in us to the extent that they recognize that sweet, peaceful presence of the Lord operating in our lives? Or do they see chaotic behavior and anger and frustration and hatred? What is it do they see? This woman obviously saw the character of the living God in Elisha as he was coming through town over and over again, that she even invited him to stop by for a meal, and it became his custom. So they became good friends, in my opinion. That it doesn't say that, but obviously he was constantly staying there. And one day the woman said to her husband, this man stops by with us all the time. He's a holy man of God. She saw his character. Why don't we add on a small room upstairs and furnish it with a bed, a desk, a chair, and a lamp so that when he comes by, he can stay with us? Now, that's hospitality. And God talks about hospitality in the Word a lot, how important it is to offer people a drink of water, whether that be the living water or a bottle of water, you know, whatever, that we be gracious, that we be hospitable. This woman was the epitome of that. She provided a bed, a desk, a chair, a lamp. Talk to me about all that, Angel. Pretty cool.
You know, she went through a whole lot of trouble. I mean, I think it shows the value that she had in this friendship and this relationship and this ongoing. And she really wanted to invest in making it comfortable and making him want to keep coming because there was something about it when he came through that was drawing her to it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So he did this. He started staying there. And the servant of Elisha that traveled with him, his name was Gehazi. And Elisha said to a Gehazi one day, you know, we need to do something nice for this woman. In other words, that whole concept of give and it shall be given unto you, right? I mean, she was giving, providing food and a place for him to stay when he came through town. And so he wanted to do something nice for her. And doesn't this talk about the nature of God, Angel? I mean, because as we give, it says in Luke 6:36, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will people pour into your bosom. In other words, people are going to say, you know what? You've been doing so much. So this is great what you do for me. Whatever it is. It could be prayer. Maybe you're a prayer and you say to a friend, I've been praying for you. And they go, oh, I so appreciate that. I want to pray for you. Angel, talk to me about this whole concept of giving it shall be given.
Well, it's, giving can be contagious. And, you know, it's funny because the person we give to may not be the person we get it back from.
That's huge. I wish I had a bell in here. I'd be ringing it on that point. Because you can say that again and explain that. Say that one more time so our audience picks that up.
Well, the person that we're giving to may not be the person who's giving back to us. They may come from somewhere else or from another individual or from, you know, all kinds of different things. But giving is contagious.
Oh, definitely. It so is. And it's interesting to me that this woman really lacked nothing, really. She probably had a fairly wealthy husband because she says, when Gehazi asks her, what is it you need? She goes, I'm fine. You know, my family's fine. Everything's good. I don't need anything. And he said, but Elisha wouldn't let go of that, Angel. Elisha says, and I'm down, let's see, call her in, verse 15. And he called her in, and she stood at the open door. Because Elisha wouldn't let go that she had everything she needed. He knew there was something he could do and ask God for her. And how often do we just let it go when people say, hey, how you doing? Fine, how are you? Fine. Right? And that's about as far as it gets with a lot of our greetings with people, doesn't it?
Yeah, very superficial. I agree.
Yeah. But when we get to know somebody, when they're a part of our lives, and like I see you every few days, and you know, I can tell when you sit down at lunch with me sometimes if you're having a bad day. You can tell if I'm having a bad day, if I'm rolling in and like with 2 seconds to spare, you know what I mean? If things
Absolutely.
Are, you know, it's and when you feel that way and I relate to you, I just don't say, you must have had a bad day. Well, too bad. And I go on. I want to know if you're okay. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, and that's the genuineness. You know, there's a lot of individuals. You know, I think our culture is kind of leaning more towards a lot more superficial relationships.
Yes.
You know, the social media has really tied a lot into that, and you know, so people are almost expecting you when you say "How's your day?" Good as a response. You know, I've shocked some people in a little social experiment I've done at work when they said "How are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, awful," and they're just smile and keep going. I'm like, you didn't hear my words at all because they're not listening.
They're not listening.
And we're not investing.
Seriously, you did that experiment? You and I haven't discussed this.
I seriously did that. Huh?
You and I haven't discussed this because we don't plan these shows except a general idea of where we're headed in the scripture. But other than that, we just let the Lord lead. You and I have never discussed this. So tell me about your experiment.
Well, it was about 6 months ago, and I was really feeling like people just don't hear you when you talk, and even professionals that work in an office, they just have their own thoughts in their mind, and they're just, it's courtesy, and they're going on. And so, yeah, my experiment was to answer with something bad or terrible and see the reply, and not one person responded to that. There was mostly a smile and go on, or, oh, okay, good thought, you know, and just kept going. I'm like, wow, yep, we're not hearing each other.
Right. You know, I think that's my concern for our nation right now, too, is that we hear each other and the needs that we have to be loved and taken care of and all of that stuff, and that hatred and racism and all of that's gotta be stomped out. It's got to be, because love is the nature of God. God is love. And here Elisha is motivated by love, Angel. There's no other reason. He's not trying to get his story in the Bible, but it did turn out that way. And I find it fascinating that he was motivated by just a giving heart. A giving heart. Talk to me.
Yeah, compassion. Just genuinely, he genuinely cared for this lady and wanted to do something
right
on her behalf. Something to show his appreciation and to bless her back, because he was feeling so blessed from her actions.
That's right. Yes.
That's that contagiousness.
It is, isn't it? Wow.
And how often when somebody, you know, you ask somebody, oh, can I help you? And they're like, no. And you're like, okay. And you move on instead of really seek, how can I help you? What can I do? You know what I'm
right.
saying? Instead of pushing. He pushed. He dared to push.
Well, it is lacking in our society in these days, that genuine concern and that genuine desire to bless other people. You know, when when our back's up against the wall and we've got amazing problems, let's say, a big storm going on in our life, and we want God to pay attention to us. We go to him and we are, you know, we're pounding our fists. God, can't you hear me? Why aren't you helping me in this situation and whatever? We don't go to him with an attitude of, well, he doesn't want to help me anyway. He doesn't love me. Although I do believe there's some people that do think that. I got the hiccups, Angel. So talk to me about that while I drink some water. I just got the hiccups.
No, I think you're right. I think some people kind of go in with the attitude, I don't know, maybe with the attitude expecting for God not to reach out and help them or to care about what they're going through.
Right.
Or to want to, you know, be a part of that or intervene in any way. And so I think they go in expecting him not to be there, and they're seeking him not to be there, and it's harder for him to be there because they're pushing him away.
Right. Absolutely. But when God says, and he does in his word over and over and over again, that he is good. One of my favorite verses, Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. And, you know, we've got to remember God is good and he wants to bless us. You and I were talking the other night on our Go Yard show. I talked about it a minute ago before you got on the radio show here, that we're doing a series last Thursday and this coming one, finishing up on unforgiveness and how it blocks us from receiving, being able to really receive blessings and dream big and get those blessings we really want in our lives. And I propose that another big thing that blocks us from receiving so much is that we don't really have it down on the inside of us that God does want to bless us, that he really is good, that he really cares. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those, everybody who puts their trust in him. That's kind of a theme for this show today, because this woman put her trust in what Elisha said, and it had come straight from the Lord through him, and I believe she knew that. She was a good person. She obviously was a good person. She provided for Elisha, the prophet, as he came through town, gave him a little apartment to stay in, cooked him meals. I mean, this is a gracious, good person. And so when Elisha wanted to bless her, she felt like her life was so blessed anyway. But then when Elisha says, no, I really am going to bless you, it's interesting that a lot of people feel like they are not worthy. And I know you can put your counselor hat on right now and talk to us about that, Dr. Angel, with your PhD and licensed mental health counselor degree, because I think a lot of people miss their blessings in life because they just feel like, well, God couldn't want to bless me. He wants to bless that pastor, that evangelist, that missionary, but not me. I'm just an ordinary person.
You know, I think a lot of people feel that way, and I think deep down a lot of people believe that at the core, and they may, you know, say what they've been taught, yes, God wants to do things for us, but I don't know that they really grab that. He wants to bless us. He wants to, you know, he wants to do things in our lives. He wants to move in our lives.
Yes.
And I think you're right. I think we look at our faults and our frailties, and we put God in a box, and we're like, oh, well, he can't use me.
Right.
Because, oh, I struggle with this, or I have this. And so we kind of give God all the excuses to not invest in our lives or invest in us. But, you know, he knows we're dust. I love that. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because we're dust. And he made us from dust, and he knows we're dust.
He knows we're dust, huh? Yeah. Yeah. He knows.
I have to remind myself that a lot.
Well, he knows. He made us the way we are. We have human frailties. We have times of falling into doubt and fear, right? But
oh, absolutely.
But we've got to get it down on the inside of us that we serve a good God. I want to read Psalm 31:19. Didn't plan on it, of course. Just came right now. Psalm 31:19. How great is your goodness. This is David writing to God. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praised be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. Be strong, verse 24, and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. I believe David had the nature of God figured out, and that's why God said he was a man after his own heart. You want to talk about that?
Oh, I think so, too. And I think it came because David became so intimate. You know, he watched his deep, and I'm sure there was not a lot of entertainment all those years. And he became so intimate, so close with God, that David was not a perfect man, and he had lots of frailties, and scriptures even outline those. God used him mightily, and
yes,
that he was a man after his heart. This means he knew, even in spite of his frailties, God loved him. God would forgive him. God would use him. You know, and he's continued to trust that.
Absolutely. And really, God wants to teach us to trust him. He wants us to know that we can trust him. Have you ever had a friend or acquaintance or spouse or someone that you thought you could trust, and then something happened, and then something else happened, and something else happened, and you began to realize, wait a minute, that person's not telling me the truth most of the time, or some of the time, or they did this, they did that. Being a counselor, I'm going to pick your counselor brain again on this. What does that do to people when they find they can't trust someone, Angel?
Oh, my goodness, it devastates them. It can be very devastating when we put our trust in someone, they've let us down, or they betrayed that trust, or they, you know, wasn't taken seriously. And, yeah, it can be very devastating. In fact, it's one of the things that bring a lot of people into the doors in counseling, because that pain is very real, and it's hard to trust anyone else after you've had the trust broken.
And with that said, we know that a lot of people have either not had an earthly father, or had an earthly father that was mean and abusive and or absent, whatever the case may be. And therefore, a lot of people cannot relate that their heavenly father is very different from their earthly father, no matter how good or bad the earthly father was. Can you kind of amplify on that with me?
Well, you know, in our human form, we like to, you know, put things in terms we can understand, but we can't understand it, an infinite God, an all-loving and unconditional.
Right.
So we can only relate it to the human, and humans are finite and conditional and not perfect and fail all the time. And so we're expecting that from God.
Right.
We're putting him in that box.
Because that's what we know. That's what a lot of people know, Angel. They know that their human relationships, father in particular, which is very important, is flawed, perhaps. And because of that, they just feel like, well, God doesn't love me, you know, not like everybody says he does. I don't see it. I don't feel it, whatever. But he does, doesn't he? He loves us so very much, and the scripture is so full of that, especially the writings of David in the book of Psalms. Love it.
It is, and he tells us over and over. But, you know, and I think this is part of our human condition. We really have a hard time getting we can't put God into something concrete like a human relationship.
Right, yeah.
And we try to so bad. It just can't happen. He's, you know, way bigger than that. And so I think because humans have let us down, and humans have failed us, and humans haven't been there when we needed them, so we've had to learn to do it for ourselves. And how to learn to live without needing certain people in our lives. Some people just had to learn how to keep going and expecting that from him. But that's not it. That's not how God works.
That's really a good point. And because of the letdowns in so many relationships, it is hard for some people to relate to a God that unconditionally, you mentioned that word conditional or unconditional. I'd like you to amplify on that from your counseling experience, if you will, because unconditional love is hard to get your mind around.
Well, it is, because in the humans, love is always conditional.
Yeah.
You know, maybe conditions are bigger for some people and less for other people, but, you know, condition for love is, you know, if you're treating me with respect, I'm going to love you. If you're doing what I want you to do with your life, I'm going to love you. There's some kind of condition to all of our relationships.
Right.
And God has none, zero, none, zero. You're breathing, there you're love.
Right.
You know, there's your condition, breathing. I mean, there's no condition.
And he loves us just the way we are. How hard to imagine. This woman in 2 Kings 4 basically had a good life. She didn't have a lot of needs. She even said to Elisha, I'm okay. You know, there's really nothing I need. I come from a good family. She probably, you know, she lived on a piece of ground with her husband. It's probably a person that was not, needing a lot. And when somebody asked, what do you need? You know, Elisha wants to bless you. She was kind of speechless. And I think sometimes a lot of us, we can relate to, well, I need a better car. I need a bigger house. I need this. I need that. But when it comes to peace, joy, contentment, lack of fear, all of that, a lot of times we don't say, well, I need that. I need relief from my fear. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people think that our needs are more material than really what God wants them to be. I think God wants to bless us internally, emotionally, spiritually, yes, financially, yes, physically, with good health. But there's so much more he wants to do. He wants to get rid of the baggage a lot of us carry around. You know what I mean? Okay, you can talk about all that, doctor.
Well, you know, it's funny because you know how I like to look into stories as we talk about it? And
yes.
How this played out. And here she must have really been maybe a little confused by the question, what do you need? Here she obviously was a woman who had physical needs, but enough space to build a guest room, basically, in her house. And she was giving him a place to stay. So here's a traveling man who probably didn't own much, didn't have much to his
right.
name. And relied on the kindness of strangers everywhere he went. How could he give me something?
Right. Good point. Yes. She probably had no idea what he had to give her. Yeah. It didn't appear that he had anything. Yeah.
Not at all. No, I mean, according to the story, that the details that they've given us, you know, that must have been a baffling question to her. What can he give me? I mean,
right.
He has nothing.
Yeah. He didn't have a U-Haul pulled back behind his big Explorer truck or anything, right? It doesn't look
True.
Like he had any immaterial, and he probably had very little material items, very little, for him to rely on the kindness and goodness of people along the way to provide for him. But it's interesting. Do you know, a lot of people have a hard time receiving a gracious act from another. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, they do. They almost feel like, yeah, it's almost like, they feel guilty.
Right.
By somebody trying to do something for them. Or yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. I see that a lot. And sometimes they'll reject that gift or shun that gift or, you know, try not to deny that they need that gift. And something
Absolutely.
Inside of them wants it and wants it, but there's something very, I don't know if it's shaming or embarrassing or something that's clicking inside of them where they're not accepting it.
Exactly. We're going to talk more about that and this woman and the gift that she got in just a minute, but I got to play this song. I've been playing it in my car a lot in the last few days, and it's just such a blessing to me. Chris Tomlin, How Can I Keep From Singing Your Praise? Love it.
The music ring.
By the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. Woo! Praise God. I love that song, and isn't that true? I am loved by the King. You are loved by the King, and the King is God himself. And this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, about verse 15 where we are, she was so loved by God, God noticed what she was doing for the prophet Elisha, and he wanted to bless her. And so he dropped it in Elisha's heart. Ask her what she needs. Ask her what I can do to help her. Because God wanted to bless her for the generosity that she was giving to the prophet. And God's like that because he's such a good God. What'd you think of that song, Angel? You know that song, I'm sure.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
I love any song that reminds me of who I am.
Yes.
Because there's so much of the world that kind of tells us that we're something different. And
right.
And we get truth a lot more in than the messages we get everywhere else.
That's exactly right. And I just can't help but sing when I think of how great God is and how much he loves us. That's what we've been talking about during this show today. How much he loved this woman, how sweet and kind she was. This world needs more kindness and sweetness. You know, I've said this many times, and Angel, you've heard me say it, that when my dad would correct my sisters and I when we were little, one of the things he usually said to us and pointed his finger at us, sometimes teasingly, sometimes seriously, sweet, kind, and lovely be, he would say, and kind of like, get it? That's what you're supposed to be. Sweet, kind, and lovely. And you know, so many times we don't see that. When people around us, they're so completely inundated with work or stress or problems that they forget to be sweet and kind, lovely. This Elisha wanted to bless her. Talk to me, Angel. It's good.
Yeah, you're right. And just especially, I don't know, our culture and our world today, we don't get a lot of that sweetness coming around to us very often. And so I think it can make us like, we don't want to be sweet to people.
Right.
And then, it, you know, that becomes contagious in ways. And so just, yeah, you know, a lot of times I try to think when I'm doing, going through my day and I'm just doing actions and I know I'm feeling, you know, stress, life, whatever, thinking about something else, and am I being as kind as I should be? How can
right.
I be more kind? Just because you have to do those kinds of things purposely sometimes to get to do that, because it's not natural. It's natural to react to what people are doing towards us all the time. So when people are acting kind, then we're more apt to be kind. And when they're acting not so kind, or, you know, more inclined to be not so kind too.
Good point.
So,
yeah, good point. That is part of our human nature, isn't it? That me thing, that all about me, my way, you know? And really what God says in the Word is, let's be kind. Let's be good to each other. Let's be hospitable like this woman was. Let's go out of our way to meet somebody else's need and care about whether or not they're having a bad day or what can I do for you? If nothing else, prayer. And it's not like that is just the last resort, but in fact, it's probably the most important thing you can do for people is to pray for them and lift them up to God and the God who is so good, who loves every single one of us just the way we are. And so we get to 2 Kings 4:15. He calls the woman in. He calls her in. She stands at the open door. We talked a little bit Wednesday night about an open door. God talks about an open door a lot in Scripture. An open door is basically saying, here's your opportunity. Now, what are you going to do with it? An open door says, you're welcome. Come in. Let me talk with you. Let me be kind to you. You know, an open door is an invitation for someone to enter our lives. Do you want to amplify on that, Dr. Angel? Because I kind of like that concept of open door.
Yeah, it's a powerful concept. You know, an open door, and you know, I think when you think of an open door, it's easy entry into something. It's
right.
Going into something new. It's something you're being invited to. You know, it's a welcoming to go this direction. And so open doors are absolutely something we want to see in our lives. And we
right.
want to, you know, experience. Like, that's what we want. And we need to look for those. And then sometimes in life, there are closed ones.
Right. Yes. Talk to me about those. Yeah.
yeah. They happen all the time, don't they? And sometimes they happen when we least expect them. And
right.
we're, you know, we have this plan and all of a sudden, boom, door closed. Now what do we do? And it's scary to be in that moment.
Yes.
Very frightening.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's a concept. We might want to develop that a little bit for our counseling show, come to think of it, Doctor. That open door, closed door thing, because a lot of times people close doors on us, don't they? And then,
yes, they do.
And then how do we react? If you have a pen, you want to write that down? So, yeah.
I got you. Okay. I'm going to put it in the bullet journal, Mom, on that.
So here we are working on shows right here in this show. But I think this is God showing us a concept that a lot of people struggle with. Open doors, closed doors. What does that mean? How do I open it? Some people try to force a door open. There's a whole lot we mm-hmm. could talk about there. But she stood at the open door. It's what it says right here in verse 15 of 2 Kings 4. And so Elisha calls her in and he says to her, now, he would not have said this to her had not God dropped this in his heart for her. God dropped it in his heart back at the beginning of this story where he wants to do something nice for her. He wants, because God is good and Elisha is operating with the spirit of God in him and to such an extent that he wanted to do good because good was done to him. Okay, and so now we come to the point where, okay, so she says, I don't have any needs. He stands there and he says, this time next year, you're going to be nursing an infant son. Now, he only said that because God told him that in his heart. This is what I'm going to give her. Because she was older, her husband was older, and they had never had children. And Gehazi found that out and he said to Elisha, you know what? She doesn't have any sons and her husband's older. And so I'm sure Elisha said, God, is this what you're going to do for her? And God said, yes. And so he tells the woman this. And then we see that she says, oh, don't tease me on this. Don't play games with me. This would be too fantastic. I don't want to be disappointed. Are you sure? You know? And he goes ahead and he says to her, We don't know what he says to her. So the woman conceived in verse 17, and a year later, just as Elisha had said, she had a son. So 2 or 3 months later, she conceived. Now, you got to wonder what she was thinking in those 2 or 3 months, Angel. I mean, don't you think she was she'd wake up in the night and go, wow, am I going to get pregnant? Is this going to happen to me? Was that God through that man? But she had this confidence in Elisha. I think there was an excitement going on in her about all this.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I think there was a lot of excitement going on in her. I'm sure, you know, who knows, did she tell her friends, you know, was she telling her husband, like,
right,
what was going on behind the scenes? We don't know.
Right. But she had the son. So she didn't do anything to negate it. She didn't say, well, that can't happen. And she did not. We don't see in Scripture where she says to Elisha, well, that's impossible or anything like that. We just find out that she had a son. Okay. And then she had the son and he grew up. And now we're going to come to the part of the story that's very interesting, because God either does, really is a good God. And now we know that life happens, and we're going to talk about that in this next hour. There are times that disappointing things happen in our lives, but the key to things turning around is this whole concept we're talking about today on this show. Is God good? Does he bring, does he try to put bad things on us to teach us and train us? In the little Facebook post we did this past Wednesday night at Bible study, we talked about that God is not the one who puts trials on us. He allows the trials so that we can grow in that whole thing, whatever it is we're going through, so that we can learn to trust him. And we see that in the story, and we're going to talk more about that in the second hour. But Angel, I want you to have an opportunity just to talk to me about that whole thing about blaming God, which so many people do. And they need to forgive God for things not going the way they think they need to go, you know?
You're very correct. A lot of people do. It's one of the hang-ups that really get people stuck.
Yes.
Because when something bad happens, if an illness came, if a job was lost, if a tragic accident happened, it becomes God's fault.
Right.
And they can't get forward, and they get stuck. And then when you're blaming God, you can't be trusting him, and you probably aren't really praying to him, and you're not seeking him, and you're getting further stuck, like in a quicksand pit, and you're
just
thinking.
Well, in your counseling experience, have you found that there's a lot of people who are mad at God and who blame God for certain things happening in their lives?
Absolutely, there's a lot of people.
Because I've heard it for years in pastoral counseling. Well, God did this, and then that didn't work out because I thought, God told me this was going to happen, but it didn't happen, and they're mad. And when we carry around unforgiveness, like we talked about on our Go Yard show, and we're going to this Thursday night, when we carry around that unforgiveness, it robs us of our blessings, doesn't it? It keeps us from those blessings.
Yes, it does. Very much so. And it keeps us from moving forward. We're stuck in the past. We're stuck in the behind, and we're stuck in the negative.
Right. Yeah. And it's easy to get stuck there for a lot of people, and a lot of people that blame God for situations. We're going to find out what the woman's attitude was towards God and the man of God here as we go into the second hour. So we want you to stay tuned with us. If you have a friend or family member you think they would profit from this and help, this would help them, call them, get them to listen to the show today. That would be great. And we're really going to talk about this nitty gritty of what happens with our attitudes when we're going through difficult times, because a lot of people face difficulties and they have, let's put it, how do I say this? They wear it in their body language. They wear it on their face. They wear it in the tone of their voice. Talk to me about that before we go to break here in just a minute, Angel, about how all that hurt and disappointment comes out in people.
Well, first it comes out a lot of times negative attitudes and responses, and we're thinking the worst. We're looking for the bad, and we don't become people other people want to be around after a while.
Ah,
we start growing
yes.
bitter, and we start becoming very negative and pessimistic and all those things that aren't very attracting.
Right.
And it hurts us. And then we're not having that connection with people that we need. And people aren't able to see the light of Christ in us when we are stuck in that rut of behaving that way.
Exactly. And it is certainly does not give God a good report, does it? Or a good, you know, it does not speak highly of God if we call ourselves Christians and yet we cannot deal with life's trials. We let everybody know how miserable we are and we are mean and nasty and all of that. That is not how to handle things that happen in our lives. It's just not. And we're going to see how this woman handled this. So as we come up on the top of the hour, we've got to do a station ID in just a moment. Doctor, I'd like for you to say something about our Go Yard show again, and it airs Thursday night at 6:06. Talk about why we do that show and how they can find it, etc.
Well, you can find it right here on this channel. You can also find it on the station's website and our GoYard2014.org website. And it's just a show to help us get stuck out of those life, you know, those ruts we get stuck in life. Help us learn to hit those home runs, how to get unstuck, how to live life, how to live it well.
Yes.
How to keep moving forward. And it's amazing. Great shows, great topics, great tools.
Yeah. Don't you love doing that show? I do. I love it every week.
I love it.
When the two of us sit down and we talk about life. We talk about life situations and nitty-gritty. We call it like it is, you know. We're not trying to sugarcoat everything. We talk about the hard times, like the situations in life. We've talked about abuse. We've talked about domestic violence. We've talked about all kinds of things on the show over a period of 2.5 years. And like you just said, people can go to our website, goyard2014.org, and catch most of the shows we've done over the last 2.5 years. And they're an hour, they're 55 minutes, and they're a blessing because it's from a counseling perspective and a life coaching perspective. So our goal is what on those shows, Dr. Angel? What are we trying to do?
Help people hit those home runs in life.
Home runs in life. Do you want to define that, what that means?
Well, you know, it's helping us live life and live it well. We not just exist, not
right.
Get stuff, not, you know, strike out bunch, get the first base. We want to hit the home run.
Absolutely.